All right. What a great crowd. But in fairness, I'm comparing it a little bit to last time. Last time I was here, it was in the middle of a blizzard. And I told the church last time I was here that it seems like every time I come up here, it's snowing, it's blizzard conditions, there's all kind of snow on the ground. And I was shocked on the way to church this morning, realizing that you have grass up here. I was not aware of that. But normally every time I come up here, it's in January or February. And anyway, I always love being here with you. And I'm excited about the growth that is taking place. What a great crowd is here this morning. Amen. And it is just a further testament to the need for another building, a larger complex. I'm excited about your Sunday school space that you're gaining here on this property. Pastor was showing me that this morning before we walked out. And then the plans for the new building. And the Bible says, without a vision, the people perish. And so where there is vision, there is provision. And where the provision comes from is through you. And the talk about money and offerings and things like that, it always amazes me, which he's not one of them, but it always amazes me, the pastors that are intimidated or afraid to talk to their churches about giving, because it's the only way that you're going to release the blessing. And you know, he said, given it shall be given, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. The blessing comes from the giving. And then the Lord gave us the right and the opportunity to decide what level of blessings that we want. If we want small blessings, then he said, just give small. If you want big blessings, then give big. And the way the scripture says it is, if you sow sparingly, you reap sparingly. If you sow bountifully, you reap bountifully. And we always get into a mode of thinking that the Lord is going to bless us so we can give. And that's not the way it takes place. Now the Lord will take care of us and he will supply all of your need and so forth. But there has to be a giving. And then he narrowed it down also to the spirit and the attitude with which you give. You can't just flippantly fling some spare change or the leftovers, whatever you have, just, well, this is what I got left over. Here's the margin in the budget. So we're just going to give that to the Lord and the best we can. Well, that's not an offering that the Lord will receive. And if you think that offerings don't matter, you have not read the story of Cain and Abel lately. Because there is an acceptable sacrifice and there is an unacceptable sacrifice. And so it is very important what you do in this season. Now, this is the way I believe. The Bible says that the proper attitude with which we give is cheerfulness. The Lord loveth a cheerful giver. We are excited to give. And we're not just really given to a building. We're given to the kingdom. We're sowing into the kingdom. And the Lord will build the house. And so please take this seriously, the opportunity that God has given you to sow into this. It's not about having a brick in the wall of the church. It's not about having a script in the concrete says, I was here, I gave, I was part of this project. You might do all that stuff, I don't know. But it's not about that. It is about furthering and advancing the kingdom of heaven. And I am very excited. I don't know how many building programs y'all have been a part of around here, but it's probably been continuous. So You say, oh, yeah, it has been continuous. Well, I hear that every once in a while from our church. We actually don't. Our people are excited for that kind of stuff. And I know that you are excited, but the alternative is to be stagnant, to just not be going anywhere, not be growing, not be flourishing, not be blessed. There's no expansion going on. So if you want that kind of church, you're in the wrong place. But if you want a church that is thriving and growing and the vision is ever expanding, I thank God for a pastor that doesn't allow any grass to grow under his feet. He is always working and pushing and challenging. Everybody say growth. Amen. The growth, the building is to sustain the growth. It's not to create the growth. It is to sustain the growth. You guys, if you hadn't looked around this morning, and this is after the classes have been dismissed, this is a nearly full building after the classes have been dismissed. And so this is a privilege. It's an opportunity, but it also must happen. Everybody say it must happen. Amen. We must continue to grow. I love so much your pastor, his wife, and their boys, Colin and Cole and Kevin. We thank God for them. And what a family that you have leading you. They are very special people. Sister Ardery, I think this morning is the first time I've ever heard you sing. I think for some reason, every time I come here, some other female's leading and whatever, and they always do well. But I thought, man, whose voice is that? I'm looking at the front line. And I really didn't know who it was. I was looking at the front line. I said, well, I don't see anybody singing up there. And I looked over and it was her. And I was scratching my head thinking, I don't think I've ever heard her. But man, what a voice. And you are blessed. You are blessed with tremendous singing workers. And a tremendous man of God that will preach you the word the way it needs to be preached. Amen. He's got one job. You know what it is? To tell you the truth. That's his job, is to tell you the truth. And I thank God for him and his leadership. And his leadership is exemplary here, but the evidence of that is even beyond this building with the Ohio District. And Brother Stark, Pastor Stark, Bishop Stark has been a longtime friend of mine. And I'm thankful that your pastor has been chosen to sit on that district board. And I'm thankful for his leadership in our movement. And I'm thankful for his burden for the Ukraine and mission fields around the world. You're giving toward missions. Amen. What a church. What a church. I want you to just show appreciation for your pastor and family one more time. Amen. And I commend you. I commend you. Praise God for being right in the middle of the will of God. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6. I'm going to read one verse in your hearing today. And I want to challenge you a little bit. And I want to get your mind going. And I want you to think about being intentional. If you're not being intentional about your relationship with God and your forward movement in the kingdom, I want you to become intentional. If you are intentional, I want you to become more intentional. You are valuable to the kingdom of heaven, and the Lord needs you here, and the church needs you. You need to be here, and you need to be rolling up your sleeves, working together. Praise God. Becoming a better version of yourself constantly. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you. will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. I want to talk to you this morning about the discipline of finishing. The discipline of finishing. Now, I want you to put your Bible down, and we're going to take a little moment here, and but I want you to really connect. I'll let you be seated here in just a second, but I want you to make contact with your neighbor, and I want you to lift your voice, and I want you to pray an apostolic prayer in this place right now. I know you know how to pray. Would you pray with me, Father, in the name of Jesus? I pray for a stirring in this building this morning. I pray for a moving and a shaking in this building today. I pray that you would elevate us, Lord, to move into a different dimension of faith and power. Help us, oh God, to do what is necessary for forward movement, God, to make a deeper commitment, to let our roots go deeper. In the mighty name of Jesus, would you lift your voice and would you pray with me right now? I want somebody to pray in the Spirit. I want somebody to pray in tongues right now. In the name of the Lord God, would you let the Holy Spirit of God move in this sanctuary here today? Let a mighty prophetic anointing, God, let mighty power, let angels move in this building. I pray that you'd minister to every heart and every mind. I want somebody to plug in here for just a moment. I want you to lift your voice and I want you to pray in the Spirit. In the name of Jesus right now, God, let there be an overshadowing of your presence in this sanctuary here. Come on, pray with me. Oh God, let chains be broken in this place here today. Let fetters be broken. Let strongholds come down in the minds of people here in this sanctuary today. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. Would you clap your hands unto the Lord and give him great praise? Would you do that? Would you give a shout of praise unto the Lord? He is worthy of praise. Hallelujah. Praise God. You may be seated. Thank you for indulging me on that. God is not impressed with what you start. He is watching how you finish. Anyone can start anything with passion, but few continue with discipline. We get a bright idea in our minds and we say, well, I'm going to embark on a new journey. I'm going to start a new project. We're going to get involved in this vision because it is fresh and it's new. There is an excitement with it. And so everybody gets excited, but as the course of things continue, you find the passion waning and people beginning to slip back and just kind of relax a little bit because they are weary with the journey and they are weary with the battle. Starting seems to have an emotional attachment to it. But finishing is something that is spiritual. It is the leading of the Holy Spirit. It is the discipline. It is a made-up mind and a heart that is fixed on the prize that is set ahead of us, that causes us to stay in the fight when the excitement wanes. Starting many times is driven by excitement. Many times it is driven by inspiration. There is someone in the pulpit, in the podium up here, that is telling you what God is going to do, what is about to happen, the things that are about to transpire. And it comes with this inspiring feeling. We're excited about it and we are emotional, but eventually the emotion will taper. Eventually, the excitement will taper and the work will begin. I'm not just talking about a building here today, but I'm talking about you in your individual lives, because you are the building. You are the church. And he who hath begun a good work in you is able to complete it unto the day of Jesus Christ. The Lord did not pull you out to fail. And the Lord did not pull you out of the things that you were in for you to go back to the things that he brought you out of. The Lord did not bring you to the house of the Lord for you to lose interest over time and to stop praying and to stop fasting and stop committing and stop giving and stop sacrificing. There is a determination that has to develop in every child of God, so that we can finish our course with gladness. If you believe that, say amen. Amen. Finishing is driven not by excitement, but it is driven by conviction. Something has to get a hold of you. Something has to drive you every single day. When the emotion is gone, there is a conviction that says, this is what I am called to do. This is where I am supposed to be. This is what I'm supposed to be a part of. This is where I apply my diligence or my discipline. Finishing is driven by endurance. The Bible says that he that hath begun a good work in you is able to complete it. He's able to complete it. It says that he is the author and the finisher of our faith. It says that he that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. How many of you want to be saved here this morning? Find that a lot of people, they begin when they feel something. Pastor, we see it all the time. People coming into the building and the Holy Ghost gets to moving and the Spirit of God gets to moving and they're excited. This is what I've been looking for. This is what I've been wanting for many years. But you look 2 weeks from now and they're gone. You look 5 months from now and they're gone. They serve God for 5 years and you look up one Sunday and they are gone because they did not have what it took to finish. I'm going to tell you, the devil's a gambler and he's gambling on the fact that you don't have enough determination in you to finish what God has called you to do. But I'm preaching to somebody here this morning and I want to dig in your spirit and I want you to get your mind made up that hell is not going to be able to shake me. It's not going to be able to take me from this place that God has brought me into. Would you clap your hands if you believe that here this morning? Come on, I'm reaching for somebody in this place here today. I want somebody to leave with a made up mind that says, I am going to finish my course regardless of what it costs me. Very few continue when they feel nothing. You don't prove your calling and election in moments of passion. You prove them in seasons of dryness. So it's not how you serve God when everything is right. It's how you serve God when everything is going wrong.
It's not how you serve him on a Sunday night, powerful, epic service. It is how you serve him on Tuesday afternoon when you've gotten letters in the mail that you did not expect, and you've gotten bad news that you didn't expect, and you've gotten reports from the doctor that you didn't count on, and all of your friends have forsaken you. That is the moment when your relationship with God is proven. I'm preaching to somebody here today to tell you that every moment you spend serving God will be worth it. Every mile that you have to walk will be worth it. Every sacrifice that you make will be worth it, because we didn't just come here to start, we've come here to finish. Oh, come on, somebody's going to make up in their mind today, I have come to finish my course. Well, I feel the Holy Ghost in this place. I've seen people over the years that serve God, and for one reason or another, they drift away. A lot of times, we don't know what the reason is, but most people don't quit loudly, they quit silently or quietly. Saints rarely announce when they stop, they just fade away. Their prayer life slowly weakens and consistency disappears. They stop paying their tithes and commitments become optional, and passion turns into routine, and then it turns into neglect. Nothing dramatic happens. They just stop finishing what they once started. Every day of your life, you're going to have to wake up with a determined in your mind that I'm going to finish. I'm going to stay committed. I'm going to stay in the fight. I'm going to stay in the battle regardless of what comes against me. No matter what happens when the enemy comes in like a flood, I know the Spirit of the Lord is going to bring me through. I'm here to preach to a church that is thriving, that has momentum, but the enemy will do everything he can to get you off track. And so you've got to make up in your mind, I'm not going to pray less. I'm going to pray more as time goes by. I'm not going to become inconsistent. I'm going to dig down and I'm going to double down on my consistency. I'm not going to be less committed. I'm going to be more committed because I am going to finish my course. Am I talking to anybody here today? Can you shout amen? Very few people fall suddenly. Most of them just drift gradually away. I want you to know that God watches consistency more than intensity. Intensity is exciting. Intensity is emotional. But sometimes consistency can become a little monotonous. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Anyone can have a powerful moment, but God looks for sustained faithfulness. I tell people all the time, there's something to be said for getting up every day and putting one foot right in front of another. This is not a 100-yard dash. This is not a sprint that we are in. We are in a lifelong course. And you're not just here to mark time. You are here to grow. You're here to be more powerful tomorrow than you were today. You are here for your gifts and your callings to be made evident in the kingdom of God. One great prayer meeting means little without a daily life of prayer. If you're not reading the Word of God, you need to pick it up and start reading it again. If you're not praying daily, you need to read every day. I'm after somebody today to get you to make up in your mind and say, I am going to pray when I don't feel like it. I'm going to believe in even when I feel like I don't believe. I'm going to stay in the course even when I don't feel like staying in the course. I am going to fight the good fight of faith. There is a job to be done, and hell is going to lose the fight if God can find some people that will stay in the battle for the long haul. Oh, come on, somebody praise him right now. Oh, come on, somebody pray. I appreciate the 10 or 12 of you I've got, but I'm preaching to the whole church here today. I'm preaching to the front row and the back row. I'm preaching to the left side and the right side. God watches consistency. One season of sacrifice means little if it cannot be maintained and sustained. Consistency is the language of trust in the kingdom of God. We cannot trust who is not present. God cannot trust who will not continue walking. God cannot use the people that are on one day and off the next day. Finishing requires endurance through boredom. Anybody ever been bored in the kingdom of God before? Come on, raise your hand. Be honest. If you've been bored in the kingdom of God before. Man, I'm just bored. I'm just frustrated. It just seemed like the same thing over and over. It just monotonous. And it just goes on and on and on. There is a monotony to it, but there's something powerful that's going on. When you just keep on going on, the enemy scratches his head. He can't figure out why he unleashed his arsenal on you, and he attacked you with everything he could attack you with, and you just keep on praising him. You keep on coming to the house of the Lord. You keep on serving him with gladness. He can't figure it out because you got a negative report, because friends turned against you, because things started falling apart at the seams, and your faith didn't get weaker, it got stronger. I'm talking to finishers here today. I'm preaching to some people that are going to be mighty in the kingdom of heaven because you didn't give up when it was easy to give up, because you didn't lay down your weapons when your hand was weary of fighting. The greatest threat to saints is not persecution. It is the monotony of serving God day after day when it seems like nothing is happening. It's not that way always, but there are seasons when it seems like there is not enough that is happening. We do some of the right things over and over again. It pays off. Showing up when nothing feels new. Remaining faithful when nothing is changing. This is where most people quit. Most people don't quit in crisis. Most people quit in routine. I'm preaching to some people, and I'm telling you, you're going to have to wake up in the monotony. You're going to have to shake yourself and make sure that you don't get hypnotized by routine. I'm talking about the discipline of finishing. In case you hadn't reminded yourself lately, there is a prize that is to be gained, and this is not it yet. We are not at the finish line yet. We are not on streets of gold yet. We have not passed through those gates of pearl yet. There is a prize that is to be gained. And if you cannot survive the boredom, you will never sustain the purpose for which God has called you to. I'm preaching to people of higher purpose here today. You're not just called to just show up on Sunday, come for a midweek Bible study. You're not just here to come to a prayer meeting every once in a while. God has a calling for you. God has a mandate for you. He's got something that he has put on your life. He didn't just fill you with the Holy Ghost for you to be a container of the Holy Ghost. He called you and filled you with the Holy Ghost for you to be a transmitter of the Holy Ghost. I feel God in this place right now. God is here to set some people on charge right now. God is here to release somebody in the Holy Ghost. There is a bond of trust that is being developed, but you got to make up in your mind, I'm going to finish my course. I'm going to do the will of God. I'm going to stay in the fight. Oh, come on, praise him right now. Oh, come on, praise him right now. Your future is built on what you refuse to stop doing. Great leaders are not built on moments. They are built on patterns. Patterns of daily prayer. That's the boring stuff, right? Because sometimes we just don't feel like praying. Anybody ever felt like prayer didn't work for you? Come on, just be honest. I'm not downgrading God here today, but I'm telling you there is a challenge to our faith. And the challenge to our faith is not when we're ramping up for a great victory. It's when we're walking every single day and it seems like things are getting worse. They're not getting worse. The enemy is just telling you you're gaining ground and I've got to fight you harder than I was fighting you last month or 6 months ago. But if you'll finish. If you'll stay in the fight, you're going to get victory. You're going to have victory. God is going to give you victory. God is going to cause you to triumph over evil. Great leaders are built on daily prayer. They're built on consistent Bible study. They are built on steady obedience. They are built on long-term faithfulness. Small disciplines repeated over time create spiritual maturity and spiritual authority. If some of you would be honest, you might say, I hadn't won any great victories in the last 5 years. Well, I beg to differ with you. The fact that you are still here and you're praising him more today than you did 5 years ago, that's the victory. We're all, boy, I feel the Holy Ghost right now. We're all looking for an epic moment, but God is looking for an epic relationship. Every single one of us are looking for that triumphant moment. Amen. But God didn't call you to be a flash in the pan. I've seen people serve God for 20 years and walk away. I've seen people serve God for 6 months and walk away. But God is going to bless the finishers. God has blessings in store for those that refuse to quit, refuse to die in the boredom. Your future is not decided by what you do occasionally, but by what you refuse to quit. And I refuse to quit coming to church faithfully. Some of you look bored right now. I refuse to quit praising him. I'll praise him in the good times and I'll praise him in the bad times. I refuse to quit showing up. I refuse to quit loving people. I refuse to quit loving God. I refuse to quit sacrificing. Oh, somebody praise him right now. Somebody praise him right now. There's a revival brewing at Pentecostal Community Church. There's a building about to be built. We're not going to just start, devil. We're going to finish. Oh, come on, somebody praise him. Somebody praise him. I feel a churning in the Holy Ghost right now. I feel a moving in the Holy Ghost right now.
You got to finish what God started in you. I've come to dig in your dreams that you buried a long time ago.
I've come to dust the cobwebs off of your purpose that you've just kind of cast aside of late. I've come to dig in your life just a little bit for that old desire that you used to have when you broke out the bread of life. That feeling where you broke out the word of God and you sat in solitude and you stopped scrolling for a while. You stopped texting for a while. You stopped gossiping for a while. You got the word of God out and you began to break open the bread of life. I've come to dust that desire off. Come on, this is not a book of boredom here. This is a book of life. This is where you get your faith. Faith coming by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Amen. I refuse to quit loving the word of God. I've come to dust the cobwebs off of somebody's prophetic word. God spoke to you somewhere in your life. He spoke to you somewhere in your past. But life happened. Stuff got heavy. Sorrow came. Disappointment happened. The wrong season showed up. Something took away your faith, and you buried the promise with your faith, and you've been kept in it. You've been keeping it somewhere hidden away in some storage closet. I'm here to break open the storage closet here. I'm here to remind you that if God said it, he will do it. He is faithful. He's not just the author of your faith, but he's the finisher of your faith. God is a finishing God. Can I preach right now? Can I preach right now? I don't care if you preach with me. He's a finishing God. If God said it, he will do it. He's not a man that he should lie. If God said there's going to be a building out there, there's going to be a building out there. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Somebody praise him right now. Hallelujah. Somebody praise him right now. I feel the Holy Ghost. Yeah, there's a lot of things I love about your pastor, but one of them is that he just doesn't quit. I don't like to be around quitters. I don't like to be around people that overpromise and underdeliver. You got a man here that if he says it, he's going to deliver on it. I like to be, the other thing I like about, he just disciplined. He just gets up every day and he just works and he just loves people and he just reaches for people because he's a finisher. The reason this church is going to be a finishing church is because you got a man of God over you that is a finisher. Come on, I feel the Holy Ghost right now. Come on, don't you sit back there and be lazy when you got a man of God that's a worker. He's a worker. Revival is spelled W-O-R-K. Oh, come on. Somebody shout, we are not afraid of hard work. Come on, somebody say it again. We are not afraid of hard work. We're not afraid. We're finishers. We ain't afraid to sacrifice because we're finishers. We're not here as a hobby on Sunday because we are finishers. God starts things in people. You can be seated, but people still have to cooperate with the process. Don't abandon what God initiated in your life. Don't abandon it during the process. Trust the process. Don't walk away from what he began to build in your life. That building that's coming is just a reflection of what God has been building in your individual lives. God is faithful to finish his work, but you must be faithful to stay in it till it's done. What doth it profit a man to gain the whole world if he lose his own soul? Oh, hallelujah. The battlefield is full of casualties, of men and women that gave up in the process. They gave up in the fight. I feel the Holy Ghost moving right now. God has been working on some of you. The stuff that happens in your life, some of it's bad decisions that you have made. Some of it is the adversary because he's a mean devil, but some of it is the process of growth. There is no growth without resistance. There is no growth without turmoil. There is no growth without sorrow. There is no growth without pain. Don't you give up in the process. God is not done with you yet. God wants you to grow. God wants you to prosper. God wants you to do his will. Oh, I feel something moving, shaking in this building here this morning. The difference between those who are used and those who are not, it's not gifting. It's not opportunity. It's not calling. It's endurance. Many are called, but few stay. Many are called, but few stay. Many are called, but few stay. I wonder if we could fast forward the clock 6 months. I wonder how many faces in this building might not be here. I wonder if we could forward the clock 5 years. I wonder, Brother Ardary, how many people may not be here 5 years from now. So I'm preaching in advance of your 5 years. You'll be here. You'll be here. She'll be here. Your boys will be here. Their wives will be here. Hello, somebody. Somebody needs to make up in their mind. You can fast forward the clock as long as you want to, but 20 years, I'm still here. 30 years, I'm still going to be here. 40 years, I'm still going to be here because I am a finisher. Whoa, somebody needs to praise him right now. Yeah. Yeah, I feel the Holy Ghost. Yeah, I feel the Holy Ghost. Shata kata moho ye ke anda kata. Hila busi ki anda la baha kata baha kata. Come on, let that anointing come on you right now. Let that anointing come on you right now. I want somebody to let that God called anointing, let it come down on you. Somebody needs to rise to your feet and throw your hands in the air and let God's power descend upon you. And you need to make up in your mind, 5 years from now, I'll still be here. 10 years from now, I will still be here. And I'm not going to be at the same level that I'm at right now. I'm going to be greater because God is greater. I'm going to be more faithful because God is faithful. Oh, come on. Come on, lift your voice all over the building. Come on, lift your voice all over the building. Shata la la bo shata. He shoto la boho kandala mahakata. Oh, I feel him moving right now. Come on, somebody, open your mouth and lift your voice and say, God, plant my feet. I want you to say it. Come on, God, plant my feet. God, give me a resolve in my spirit that refuses to be moved. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray, God, don't let me live by inspiration only, but let me live by discipline, by determination. I've got a made up mind. I'm going to finish what God has started in me. God is going to finish what he has started in me. Come on, Pentecostal community of church, I want you to pray. I want you to pray. Come on, shata la la baha, kata la la baha. Come on, that's it. Right where you stand. Right where you stand, I want you to pray. He shoto la boho kanda la bo siki ata. He na mo siki ata yando la mo seke abaha. That's it. That's it. That's it. He shoto la moho kanda la baha. Some of you don't know what to do in this atmosphere, but this is a finishing anointing that's here in this building right now. This is what's going to keep you through every storm. This is what's going to be with you through every season. This is what's going to light your path in the darkness. This is what's going to empower you during boredom. In the name of Jesus, oh God, would you move upon this church? Elebea mahaya, shata la mahaya, ishataya, ishata la mohoya lelebea maha, o shate kaya maha katala la la maha, shondo la moho rebe seya, ihan lebe soto la moho rama sata, iala makata la mose kaya mahaya sata. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, listen to me. You got a tremendous man of God as your pastor. This is a man that is strong. He's unbreakable. He's unbendable. He's got a backbone. He's a hard worker and he's an anointed man of God and he's a good shepherd. But he is not your Messiah. You cannot siphon every ounce of virtue that's in him constantly in order for you to live for God. You can't just suck him dry of every bit of peace that he has so that you can live for God. It's important that you realize that the instruction that he gives you from the Word of God, it is the voice of the shepherd tending and feeding the sheep. I get all that. But if you want to get beyond where you are as a church and grow, you're going to have to start living for God for yourself. Now, I know I'm not talking to everybody in here today. Now, y'all can get upset at me and run me out of town, okay? I'm a nice guy, but right now I feel something on me. And the Holy Ghost needs to set some things straight in here today. Pentecostal Community Church does not exist for your promotion. It is not here to give you a platform for attention. It is not here. Well, I feel the Holy Ghost right now. It is not here for you to come in here and suck the church dry as a needy saint of God. God brought you out of the miry couple. I feel something right now. He brought you out of the mess that you were in. But at some point, you got to grow up. You got to get your nose in the book. You got to read it for yourself. You got to decide it for yourself. Hello, somebody. And you got to quit being so childish about every little thing that goes on in your life. Because if you don't grow up and you don't mature and stop sucking your thumb about every little thing that doesn't go your way, you will not finish this race. This is not for the faint of heart. I feel the Holy Ghost on me right now. This is not for the faint of heart. I'm going to tell you, I don't know who said it, but one world, somebody famous said it one time. They said, Christianity is an organization, it's a program for weak people. I got news for you. The people that are in this building are people that are empowered by the Holy Ghost, and they are people that have come out of addiction. Now they're serving God. That's not weak. These are people that have been afflicted with diseases, and they still praise God like they're in perfect health. That is not weak. You are stronger than you think that you are. Now, he's a good shepherd, and he's going to contact you when you miss, because that's what you signed up for when you put yourself under his leadership. You wanted a shepherd that would tend the flock, but he can't look after you every single day of your life. He can't baby you for the rest of your life. Amen. Come on. At some point in time, Paul said, I would have given you the meat, but I can't get you off the milk. There's some wonderful saints of God in this place. Y'all know I love you, right? But there's some wonderful saints of God in this place that are living the same journey with God that you did from the first time you got in church. You got in church and you hadn't grown since you got in church. You got in church, you hadn't changed the way you looked since you got in church. You think if he didn't come and put his finger on the end of your nose and tell you to stop doing it, you think you have the right to do it. But you're not going to be judged by him. You're going to be judged by this book right here. I'm preaching the finishers here today. I'm preaching the finishers here in this building today. Now, I'm going to tell you, I feel something on me right now, Brother Arderi. That building is not just about a construction project. It's about the maturation of this church. It's not about numerical growth. It is about maturity level growth. This community, this is Pentecostal Community Church. This whole community needs to hear what's going on in this building and in that building. You know how they're going to hear it? You know how they're going to hear it? They're not going to hear it by you sitting around complaining in the break room at work. They're going to hear it by you telling somebody, hey, I've been where you've been, but God brought me out of it. I have been to that place that I've been in that darkness before. I have felt that suicidal spirit before, but God brought me out of that. That's maturation. That's the sound of a finisher. You got to start talking like a finisher. You got to start talking like a finisher. You need to change your vocabulary. Phrases like, I don't know if I'm going to make it, they need to leave your communication system. And you need to say, you know what? The battle is hot. The battle is long. The valley is wide. It's dry. But I'm going to make it through every storm, through every battle, through every valley, because God is with me. Oh, come on, somebody. I'm preaching to finishers. How long have you been pastoring? How long have you been pastoring? 23 years. Let me tell you what needs to happen in this building here today. Now, some of y'all, 24. We're going to get it right. Hang on. It may be strong. He just don't have a good memory because he's a man. Give him a break, ladies. Not him, just your husbands. If they had a good memory, you wouldn't have a job. I'm kidding. Let me tell you what needs to happen. Some of y'all, well, woo, we're having a good church. That's not what this is about right now. There needs to be a switch flipped in this building. There needs to be a switch flipped. What? Give me a light switch. They're all back there. Just turn a light off. That's one light. Just one light. No, just one. Give me the one that controls the most lights. Maybe it was that one. Turn this one back on. What was turned off? What happened? There we go. Turn that one off. There we go. There's a connection between you and God. It's a connection point. It's where the voltage is coming into the switch. But if you can't flip the switch, the lights ain't going to work. We can't spend 25 years trying to figure out how to flip the switch. If God brought you out, stay out. If God redeemed you, stay redeemed. If God saved you, stay saved. If God called you, then answer. So here's what needs to happen. Here's what needs to happen right here in your heart, in your mind, in your spirit. Flip that switch. Flip it on. That's what needs to happen, right? Is it that simple? Yes. It's when you make up in your mind, if I fall, I'm getting back up. I'm not going to fail. I'm not going to quit. I'm not going anywhere. I am going to fulfill my calling and my election because I am a finisher. I've made up my mind. I am going to do this. Do I have anybody that believes me here right now? I'm going to do this. I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. I'm not going to beg anybody to come. Just hold on. I'm not going to beg anybody to come. But if today, you're going to flip a switch and you're going to say in your mind, when I get a bad attitude, I'm going to fix it at the altar. I'm not going to direct it toward my leadership. Can I get an amen from the church? When I fall, I'm going to get myself back up with Jesus. I'm going to get it fixed at the altar. I'm not going to depend on him to pick me up in every situation. I'm getting less amens now. They say, well, what do we need him for? You need him to be the pastor. You don't need him to be your babysitter. I tell you, if a good dose of the fear of God would just hit the place, if a good dose of the fear of God would just hit the body of Christ, boy, it would fix a whole lot of stuff. But somewhere along the way, we've gotten into the mindset of believing we can say what we want, act the way we want, have the attitude we want, and all that kind of stuff. Sit there and sulk on the pew and get upset and get offended at our brother and all that kind of stuff like God don't see that. We're going to sulk and get offended long enough till the pastor finally comes to us and asks us why we're crossways, because we need attention. That is not the attitude of finishers. Amen. What you should be doing, come here, Pastor. What you should be doing is saying, man, I got to carry my own load and I got to carry my family's load. He's got to carry the load of all of us. God, I'm going to lift up the hands of my pastor. I'm going to be a strength to my pastor. I'm not going to be a weight to my pastor. I'm not going to burden my pastor. I'm going to be a help to my... I'm not going to be a hindrance to him. I'm going to be a help to him. I'm privileged to be in the body of Christ. Oh, clap your hands unto the Lord. Come on and lift your voice and give him a shout of praise. I want you to shout the name of Jesus here today. Come on, don't that feel better? Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. This is it. If you're going to flip that switch today, God's not asking for perfection, neither is he. He's just asking for some maturity. If you're going to flip that switch today, I want you to come out from where you are and I want you to fill the front of this building. Don't kneel. Don't lay down. Just come to the front. This is commitment time. If you're a part of this church, I would not recommend you stay back. But I'm not going to beg you. Come on in. We got people trying to come down the aisle. Come on down the aisle. This is your people right here. This is the people that God's connected you to make it to heaven with. Come on down. Out of the aisle. Come on down. Y'all come on down. Say, man, you're mean. I can be meaner. It can get worse. Just come on down. Come on down. Pastor said I was going to fix it. I've made it worse.
No, I'm actually fixing it right now. I'm fixing it right now. And nobody should ever have to come up to the church or come up to the pulpit and give you 50 reasons to give. You're bought with a price. You're not your own. You don't belong to yourself. This is God's kingdom. You belong to Him. You're the sheep of His pasture. That's it. It's a privilege to give. Now, what I want you to do is I want you to make some vows to the Lord. Be careful of what vows you make. Okay? Don't be so ignorant, not stupid, but ignorant, to say to God, from this day forward, I'm going to be perfect, God. That's a lie. But what you are going to say is it's going to sound something like this. God, You brought me out of this. You brought me out of that. You redeemed me. You died on the cross for my sins. You've given me a shepherd and a pastor's wife that love me. You've given me a church body to be encouraged with and to pray with and to be loved by. I'm a wealthy man. I'm a wealthy woman. And God, You deserve my best. I'm going to give it everything I got. And when I don't feel like I'm giving it everything I've got, I'm going to try a little harder. When I don't feel like I can give anymore, I'm still going to try to give a little bit more. And I want you to know, God, You can count on me because I'm a finisher. And I want You to anoint me to be a finisher. I want You to help me to be a finisher. Would you begin to pray that prayer right now, Father, in the name of Jesus?